We're holding on Ayin Vav Amr Aleph, the first line. The Mishnah had said, among the cases where a person doesn't have to pay Tashkumi Abav HaMisha, one of the cases the Mishnah had said was, Gunav Vihikdish V'Achachach Tavach Abach HaBachola, if he stole the animal and then was Makdish it, where we said there can be cases where he's Makdish it because he was Koine it with Yush, and so forth. So let's say plain Yush, actually. The owner was Miyayish from it, so now that gives him, now the Ganav owns it to the extent where now he's able to be Makdish it. Anyway, then we said if at that point he shechted or stole the animal, or sold the animal, then he wouldn't be paying Tashlumi Abav HaMisha. So now we have to work out why not. So Amri, so they asked, I can understand why he's not chayev for the shechting. Because at this point, because the hektish katovach olay the more katovach. The key katovach, the hektish katovach, v'loy demore katovach. At this point, when he's shechting an animal that belongs to hektish rather than to the original owner. So we know you don't pay tashlumi abav hamisha to hektish because the pasuk says that you pay to Re'ehu, actually it doesn't say the word Re'ehu in the pasuk over there, but we're gonna see later on, why it is he doesn't pay Tashlum Abav Hamisha to Hekdesh. So we know therefore he's not gonna be chayev for the Tvicha, because at that point it belongs to Hekdesh. Rashi points out, you have here Yush and Shidur Rishus. Because you have the owner was Miyayish from it, and there was Shini Rishus that he then gave it to, that he decided to be Makdish it as a korban. So then we understand that for that reason he's not chayev for the tvicha. So because it doesn't belong to the owner anymore. Tosfos points out we did have several blocks ago on some chesam days. We had a machlokas of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish how to understand the cases where Rish Lakish had held that it is possible for the original owner to be makdish it while the ganav has it in his possession. So according to Rish Lakish, we wouldn't be talking about over here about the ganav that the ganav is the one who was makdish it. We would be talking about that the owner was makdish it, and therefore according to him it would be very straightforward that now the owner still has certain ownership of it, and now when the ganav stole it, then he should be paying tashlumi abav hamisha. We would ask the same question then on the face of it. According to the Shlokish, we would say that according to him also the original owner still has a certain ownership of the animal. The point is, the sugya is going to be according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that we're talking about that it was the ganav who was makdish it. Ela a hektish lechayev, but shouldn't he be chayev to begin with when he was? Shouldn't he be chayev to begin with when he was makdish it? Or for the fact that he was makdish it, or that that's the equivalent of selling it to hektish? What's the difference? Mali machr lehedyet, mali machr leshamayim. What's the difference between selling it to a hedyet or selling it to Hashem? Either way, you're transferring ownership. And therefore, he ought to be chayev for that alone. So again, if we go like Rish Lakish and say that he was never makdish it, the owner was, then we can talk about. Then we're talking about now the ganav goes and sells this animal to somebody else, let's say the owner was makdish it, and then later on had yush from it. And now the ganav went and sold it to somebody else, sure, he's chayev. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that we're talking about the ganav himself was makdish it, well, the moment he's makdish it, he ought to be chayev for selling it. And the answer is, Halmani Rabbi Shimon, the answer is, you could say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, where he said the Mishnah, Kodshim Shechayev Bachriyosan, Rishusa de More Kaimi, he said that there's a difference between Kodshim Shechayev Bachriyosan, the kind of Kodshim where you're responsible to make up for them, and if they get lost or stolen or what have you, as we learned previously, namely, in other words, that would be karbonis that the person is obligated in, a chatas or an ashram or whatever. It would be karbonis when it's a voluntary karbon, it would be where to begin with. He said, hare a lie that this obligation is on me. Whatever the case, Rav Shimon made a distinction in the Mishnah and said that those kind of kodshim are still considered the moment of the owner, as we're going to work out soon in the Gemara, the details of what Rav Shimon holds about that. Well, therefore, so it is considered like, so now the, uh, So now it is considered like his mom. So therefore, so now you can't say that, now you can't really say that he should be chayav for donating it to Hekdesh, because Rashi points out, this is an example of Dovra Gorm Lamomen Kimomen, so it's not really a Mechira. So in other words, if this animal was already kodshim from before, so we're not talking about that, we are talking about that the ganav himself was makdish the animal, but we're saying that, if that animal disappeared, that he himself would have to bring another one. So therefore, it's considered like the ganav's own mammon. So it wasn't yet completely out of the reshus of the. It's not really out of the reshus of the owner yet into the reshus of hekdesh. So therefore, you can't be chayev for tashlum al-bav chamisha for that kind of sale. Now, when it comes to the shechting, Rashi points out that's different. Because then at least you can say it does take it out of the original owner's reshus to the extent that, so as far as tvicha, he's going to be potter because again, you know, because then we say even though it partially still belongs to the owner in a certain sense, it doesn't really, it's only dover agorim l'momen as far as the original owner is concerned, it basically belongs to hekdesh, you don't pay tashlum al-bav chamisha for hekdesh. The question was why you're not paying for the mechira when he's makdish the animal, and the answer is because it's still to a certain extent considered to be in the reshus of the original owner. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How can you say that the Mishnah is like Reb Shimon? Hobi the sefer Reb Shimon, reish alav Reb Shimon. Given that in the sefer Reb Shimon has his argument and makes his point about kodshim shachai b'achri yosan, that implies that the earlier part of the Mishnah is not a point of Reb Yechanan. Is not a point of Reb Shimon. So the answer is Ella, no, rather. So you're right. We can't use the answer that the Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, and we're distinguishing, and we're talking about a certain kind of kodshim, but rather we can answer Ella Hoch Meisen, the kodshim kalim. We can answer it is about a type of kodshim, not that this din of the Mishnah won't apply across the board to all kodshim, but only the kodshim kalim, valibid Reb Yosef, really, I'm a kodshim kalim, mom and Byron. Reb Yosef, really, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that Anan Yud Beis on the days he held that kodshim kalim are still considered to be the property of the owner, which is relevant even insofar as he says you a man could even be mekadosh a woman with kodshim kalim. So therefore, so he would say obir shusay kaim. Therefore, he would say that animal still remains in the reshus of the original owner. So again, you can be mechayev him. He would say when you makdish this animal, it's not really considered a mechira because it's still partially in the ownership of the original person. So now when he shechts it, then you can say that he's not shechting an animal that completely belongs to the owner. It belongs to hekdesh basically, and therefore he's potter because you don't pay tashlum al-bav chamisha to hekdesh. But nevertheless, you can still say that the mechira is not a mechira because it still remains in the original owner's possession to a certain extent. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is that the reason why, if we say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yosef, really, we'd say he's potter for the tvicha, we would say is because after it's shechted, then we learned back in that sugi in the first parak, Rabbi Yosef really holds that once the animal's shechted as a korban, then we say mishochan gavaya kazahu, the koyanim and maybe the owners as well, when they eat the meat, they're receiving it from Hashem's table. It doesn't belong to them anymore for it to be considered theirs. So therefore, that would be a reason to patter him for the shechting, because at that point it belongs to hekdesh. Rashi doesn't like that reason though, because when do we say meshochan gavaya kazahu? When you have, for example, when can you eat from the korban? Not just after shechita. You also need the blood to be sprinkled. You also need the chaylev and the emurim to be brought on the mizbeach. Only then can we talk about meshochan gavaya kazahu. So Rabbi Yossi's din over there is talking about something else entirely. When you have an animal of kodshim, and you have a piece of meat of it that that you received as part of a shlomim or chatas or what have you, can even mekadesh a woman with that. So Rabbi Yisrael really says yes, because it's your portion, and therefore you can, and mishochan gavaya, and because it's your portion. Or the other way around, actually. When it's alive, Rabbi Yisrael really is going to say that it's considered your moment. After it's shechted and the blood has been sprinkled and everything else, then we say Mishochan Gavaya Kazachu, it's not really yours anymore, it's just a portion you received from Hashem's table. But here Rashi points out we're talking about an in-between stage. We're talking about only the Shechita. We haven't yet talked about the Zrikas Adam and the bringing of the Emurim and all to be able to talk about that. So therefore we can still say that according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili, if we said that if he holds that it's still considered Mom and Bailin, then it would still remain Mom and Bailin at this point as well, after the Shechita. So therefore we can't say that at the time of the Shechita it already doesn't belong to the owner, and therefore that it should belong to Hekdesh. So therefore Rashi prefers the first explanation, that the difference is giving it to Hekdesh as a korban is not considered changing the Rishus, because as Kodshim Kalim it still belongs to the original owner. But on the other hand, the Shechita, making it hektish does to a certain extent, so therefore we can say that the mechira is considered a mechira because it goes out from his rishus. On the other hand, the tricha, it's already out of his rishus, it's in the rishus of hektish, and therefore you can't be mechayiv in tashlumi abav hamisha for the shechtim. Okay, so that would be, so we could explain the Mishnah that way, that it's according to Rabbi Yosef Lili, and we're talking about Kodshim Kalim. So therefore, mom and bailam, who he would say kodshim kalam are considered the owner's mom, and they're considered in his rishus. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ava kodshe kodshim mai neshalim tashlumi dalad b'chamisha. So what are you telling me then? That if the animal were to be kodshe kodshim, achatas and osham and oila, then what? Rabbi Yisrael really would say you have to pay tashlumi abav b'chamisha. Because he holds the whole concept of that it still belongs to the original owner, Mamun Bailam Hu, he says is only as far as Kodshim Kalim. Because Kodshim Kalim, after all, you, the owner, are going to end up getting some of the meat. But Kodshim, he agrees is not like that. So in that case, if the Mishnah is like Rabbi said, really, Ad Tani Reisha, then instead, why is the Reisha beginning? The earlier Mishnah had said, Gon of the Tavach Vachaka Hikdish, where an earlier Mishnah had said, and our parent had said, that if he stole the animal and shechted it, and only then he was Makdish, meaning that now he was Makdish the meat to go to Kodesh Vedek Abayis, Mishalim Tashlumi Dalav Behei. He said he still has to pay Tashlumi Dalav Behei because he's still Chayib, because at that point it still belonged to the owner. In that case, if we're saying according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili that there's a distinction within Kodshim, Mithloik Velisnibidida, then the Mishnah should have made a distinction between that case itself. By Medbar Mamun Kodshim Kalim, when would that apply only by Kodshim Kalim, that then we would say that so the Mishnah should have said that you'd have the Reisha, you'd have where if he was Machdish after he shechted, then he is paying the Tashlumi Abav HaMisha, because at the time of the Shechita, it still belonged to the original owner. Then the Mishnah continues with the Sefer, with our Mishnah, and says, but if he was Machdish first, he's Potter. So the Mishnah should have made a distinction whether he's Machdish himself. By Medbar Mamun, Kodshim Kalim, when would all that apply only if it was Kodshim Kalim, like Rabbi Yisrael Lili? But if it was Kodshe Kodshim, he would have to pay Tashlum Abav HaMisha, because by making it, by shechting it, he's now taking it out of because now he's taking it out of the Rishos of the owner. And that would be the classic example where you should be Chayiv Tashlum Abav HaMisha. Ah, you're going to say it's Hektish, but the point is that by shechting it, is how he's taking it out of the rishus of the owner, and that's any case where he shechts that he's doing that. So on the face of it, we can't understand the Mishnah to be like Rabbi Yosef Lili either. So what's going on in the Mishnah over here? Why is he chayev? So if we understand the Mishnah. The original question was, why when he's makdish it, why is he not chayev at that point? Because it should be considered like he sold it to Hashem. So if we say it can't be like Reb Shimon, who says that Kodshim distinguishes between Kodshim shechayev b'achriyosan and she'en chayev b'achriyosan. And it can't be like Rabbi Yisrael Lili, who distinguishes between Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Well, then what is so what's going on? So how is it that he's potter when he's makdish it, when on the face of it, that's changing reshus, and changing reshus should mean that he's there, that he's chayev for that alone. So the Gemara answers, Ella, rather, la'olam lo'shna kodshi kodshim lo'shna kodshim kalim. No, in fact, we're going to say the Mishnah is not necessarily like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. There's no difference what kind of kodshim. Either way, for being makdish the animal, he's not chayev for shlomo al ba'al v'chamisha. So you're asking then in that case, what's the difference between selling it to an individual or selling it to Hashem? Because in effect, fine, by the way, when you're being makdish, of course, you're not selling it to Hashem, you're gifting it to Hashem. That doesn't make a difference. Later on in the parak, we're going to learn that when the Torah says, talking about that a person is chayev for selling the animal, it would also include if he gave the animal as a present to somebody else. So why are we saying it's not considered mocher l'shamayim? Because the difference is mocher l'hedyet, when he sells it to an individual, then you can say he's completely changing the name of it. Me'ikra Torah de Reuven v'hashta Torah de Shimon. Because before it was known as Reuven's ox, and now once he sells it, it's known as Shimon's ox. So on the other hand, mocher l'shamayim, but when he sells it, or meaning gives it to Hashem, when he's makdish it as a korban, meikra Torah de Reuven, v'hashta Torah de Reuven, it still has the original owner's name on it, in the sense that in general, anybody who was makdish it, it's still called his korban, it's still called his ola. So you can't say, so even if we say that there's no difference between kodshim kodshim and kodshim kalim, so nevertheless though, there still is the reason why he's chayev in the case of giving it to hektish is because it's true. The original owner doesn't have any ownership on it in the sense that he doesn't have ownership anyway because there was yish already. We said we're talking according to Rabbi Yochanan that he was miyayish and the gana was makdish it, but that still wouldn't pater the gana from selling it in the ordinary case. What we're saying is over here that the fact is, after you makdish it, you still have your name on it, and therefore that can't be considered to be a full mechira, and therefore you can't say that he should be chayev for such a mechira. Tosfos points out a couple of things in this. First of all, is that if he was makdish it to bedek abayis, that he's makdish it for the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash, that would be different. Because when you makdish something to bedek abayis, it's no longer called by your name anymore. When you're makdish, whether you're talking about an animal or baal mum, or whether you're talking about your makdish an object or whatever, it's not called Reuven's stone or Reuven's behema baal mum or whatever. It just becomes part of the general fund of hektish. Because the pastors, when you bring something to bedek abayis, they don't have to afterwards, when they're spending it or using it or whatever, they don't have to have you in mind when they're doing it, as opposed to a korban. They have to have you, the owner of the korban, in mind when they're doing it. So therefore, it's still known as your korban. So that would be the distinction. If the ganav over here were to be makdish this animal to bedek abayis, then in fact he would be chayiv for that, learns Tosfos. But if he were to be makdish as a korban, then we're saying that not, because then we're saying that it still retains a certain ownership of the still retains the name of the original owner to a certain extent. That's how Tosfos learns, and then in that case, now the Gemara could have asked in that case the Gemara should have made the distinction, but Tosfos later on says that, look, obviously the Mishnah over here is not talking about kodshe bedek abayis. We're obviously talking about only kodshim izbeah for reasons that Tosfos discusses in a later Mishnah in our Peres. So therefore, it's not such a problem. Why didn't you draw that distinction? Because it's clear that the Mishnayos are all, when we're talking about being makdish in our Mishnayos in this Perek, we're always talking about being makdish to as a korban. And we can show that from the way that the Mishnah presents the cases, says Tosfos. With that said, there are other Rishonim who learn that the Gemara later on, the Braisa, the Gemara brings later on, is arguing with our Mishnah and saying that it doesn't matter Kodshim is Veach or Kodshim Betek Abayis. Either way, he would in fact being Makdash is considered like a sale, and therefore that he would be Chayev. So according to that, then our Gemara is taking the view that it's not, because still Shein Bayil of Olav, whereas the later Gemara and Daf Ayin Tes is going to disagree with that. That's the point of the Rashba and some other Rishonim. So that's the answer. When he's being makdish the animal, well, he still hasn't taken the original name of the owner off it completely, because any korban is still known as the korban of its original owner, and therefore that can't really be considered a mechira, and therefore he's potter from tashlum al-bar v'chamisha for that. Okay. The Mishnah had continued, Rav Shimon Oymer v'chola, that Rav Shimon, we said, had drawn a distinction between kodshim she'chai b'achur yosam and kodshim she'ein achai b'achur yosam, where Rav Shimon had said, if it's the type of korban where the original owner is going to be, whoever is the owner of the korban now, is going to be responsible to make up for it, if it gets lost or stolen or what have you. Then Rav Shimon had said, then he would pay tashlum abav chamisha. But if he's ain't a chay bach riyosan, if it's a korban nedava, where he had said harei zu, he said this one will be a korban, and the din is that if that animal gets lost or stolen or whatever, he's not chayev to give a new animal. So Rav Shimon says in that kind of situation, you're not paying tashlum abav chamisha. So we have to figure out what's the basis for what Rav Shimon is saying. What's the basis for Rav Shimon's distinction? Amri, so the Bnei HaYeshiva asked, Nihi the suffer of Shimon, Mali Machre LaHedyot, Mali Machre LaShemayim, granted that Rav Shimon apparently holds, like we said before, that there's no difference between selling it to a Hedyot and selling it to Hashem. He doesn't hold that distinction that we said before, that with a korban that still has its original owner's name on it. So therefore, Rav Shimon can be mechayev him in certain cases for being makdish the animal, and not say, in other words, that, well, it still retains its original owner's name. Rav Shimon's not going to say that. Still, though, in that case, ipchami boile, then Rav Shimon ought to be saying the other way around. Kodshim shechai b'achur yosan potter. You should say that when it's kodshim shechai b'achur yosan, then the ganav would be potter from tashlum abav chamisha. Da'akati le'nofik mirshusay, because then in that case, obviously the animal still hasn't gone completely out of his rishus. In other words, Rashi explains like this. The premise of the Gemara's question is that Rav Shimon is not going to be mechayev him for shechting the animal. Because, again, at this point, having been makdish the animal, whether it's b'achrayus or not, either way, it now becomes, now the ganef becomes in effect a shomer on behalf of the hekdish, and by the time he's shechting it, it doesn't belong to the original owner anymore. Apparently, it sounds like one would have shimon be machayev him only when he was first makdish it, because then that's considered a mechira. So then in that case, the premise is, so the question should be the other way around. Kodshim shechai b'achrius and potter, for being makdish an animal when it's kodshim she'en achai b'achrius and kodshim shechai b'achrius and he should be potter, da'akati le'nofet mirushus, because not completely out of his rishus, because he still has, or whoever would be the owner of the animal at this point, still has an achrayus to bring a new animal instead of this one if it becomes unavailable. So we should say that it's not considered a mechira. And again, he can't be chayev for the tvicha, as we said before. And kodshim she'en achayev b'achriyosan chayev. And on the other hand, you should say if it's kodshim she'en achayev b'achriyosan, then he should be chayev for the selling it, meaning the giving it to Hekdesh, demakilei merushose, because now he's taking it completely out of the rishus of the owner. Because now there's not even any dovra going the moment, because at that point, if the animal were to be lost or whatever, even the original owner wouldn't have to make up for another animal. So you should say that in that case it would be chayev, because now he's taking it completely out of the rishus of that owner, even to the extent where the owner doesn't have to make up for it at all. So what's the basis of what? So what is Reb Shimon saying? If we assume again that the that Reb Shimon would patter him either way for the shechting, and he's only being mechayev him for the selling. So in that case, then the logic should be the other way around. So the answer is Amri. So the answer, Reb Shimon amilta achrisi koi. Reb Shimon is actually referring to something else that what we're talking about over here is again the ganav was makdish the shur, and Reb Shimon would say that in fact you can't be mechayev him for that because like we said as we said before because Reb Shimon would accept the svara that we said before that it's still called Torah de Reuven, it's still called Reuven's shur in the sense that when you makdish an animal as a korban it still retains the name of the original owner on it because after all when the kohenim do the avodas of the korban they have to have him in mind. So Reb Shimon does accept that svara. So we're saying that no, Reb Shimon is not referring to the hektish of the animal itself, the fact that when he's makdish it, we're considered that it's changing the reshus. Reb Shimon is not referring to that because you're right. Then he would have to draw the distinction the other way around. Rather, Reb Shimon is referring to something earlier in the perek. V'hochi katoni, you have like this. When we go back to the beginning of the perek, we had Eina Goin of Achra Ganav Masham Dashlumi Dalav Behei. We had the case that if Reuven owned an animal, Shimon stole it from him, and then Levi stole it from Shimon. We say that if Levi now shechts or sells that animal, then he does not pay. He does not pay. As we worked it out over there, because since the pasuk says the gunav mibesa ish, it was stolen from the man's house, implies v'loy mibesa ganav. It's not that it was stolen from the ganav's house, and therefore Levi is not going to be paying. Is not going to be paying the tashlumi abba v'chamisha. Now the Mishnah didn't say this next part, but we can deduce from that same point that going of hektish with base bilim, that potter, that also if a person were to steal a hektish animal from the owner's house, he would also be potter, my timer, for the same reason. The same way as when the pasuk says, it's stolen from the man's house. It means the original owner of it. And therefore we learn from that, not when it's stolen from the ganav's house. The same way when it says, also excludes if it's stolen from a hektish. So according to that Tana, the ganav, when he stole an animal of hektish, would be potter regardless. So now Reb Shimon says, you have to draw a distinction, kodshim shechay b'achriyusen chayev, that no, if it was kodshim shechay b'achriyusen, he would be chayev for everything, for kefal and abav hamisha, depending what he does with the animal afterwards. My timer, kodin abay, the gunav mibesa ish, because when it's kodshim shechay b'achriyusen, Reb Shimon says, you can still call that the gunav mibesa ish, because he still has a certain monetary ownership over the animal, because again, if it were to be lost or stolen or what have you, he would have to make up another one. As opposed to v'she'ena chay b'achriyusan, but if he's not chay b'achriyusan, potter, d'loy kodin ben v'guna v'beisa ish, because at that point we don't call it v'guna v'beisa ish, because if it's kodshim v'she'ena chay b'achriyusan, then it belongs 100% to hektish, and he has no monetary ownership, even to the extent of davar grom l'mamon, on it at all, and therefore, so that would be the distinction Reb Shimon is making. So he's not making the distinction again where the ganav himself was makdish the animal. He's making the distinction when the ganav stole an animal that was already declared hektish, there's going to be a difference what type of hektish it is, or when it was declared a korban, it's going to depend what type of korban it is, whether it's a korban that the owner has to make up for or does not. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks, Mechti, well, let's consider, though, another point over here. Shamin and Leilat of Shimon, da amashchita, she'ener uya lo shmashchita. Now, we've learned earlier in the perek that Reb Shimon holds that shchita she'ener uya, when you have a shchita that's not going to lead to the animal being mutter to eat, is not considered a shchita. We had it earlier in the perek. We had, for example, in connection with the case where he shechted the animal and it turned out to be treifa was one example, and we had other cases where for one reason or another you shechted the animal and it turns out that you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to eat it. So Rav Shimon had said that, that you don't pay Tashlum al-Bab Hamisha in such cases, because he said, since the Torah says that it has to be that you're chayev only if you stole the, only if you shechted the animal. Well, he says, another example was Cholan Ba'azara. So Rav Shimon had said that, that such a shchita is not considered a shchita, because in his view, a shchita is considered a shchita only if it results in that afterwards the animal could be eaten. Well, given that Rav Shimon holds Shchita Shener Uya Loishma Shchita, and Tosfos adds, if we assume, as we discussed the other day in the Gemara, Ein of a Shchita El of a Soif, if we assume that the Shchita is considered a Shchita only when he finishes it, anyway, then the question would be, Kodshim Nami Shchita Shener Uya. Well, if he shechts the Kodshim, wouldn't it be a Shchita Shener Uya? Because we're assuming that he shechted it outside the Azara. So therefore, and then Kodshim that are shechted outside the Azara, are not able to be eaten. Now, by the way, Tosfos points out, when it comes to the issur of Shchutei Chutz, when it comes to the issur of shechting a korban outside the Beis Mikdash, there, even if it was a shchita shenir uya, even if Shimon is going to agree that it is considered a valid shchita, but that's because of a special zeris hakotziv in that case, that by shchita chutz, we consider it we don't even need any. Tosfos points out any shechting of a korban outside the azara by definition is a shchita shenir uya, because it's going to be also b'ana, and nevertheless the Torah is still mechayev a person for that. But should we say over here that it's still considered a shchita as far as tashlumi al-bab chamin? Rav Shimon says no. So if Rav Shimon holds shchita shenir uya lo shma shchita, then if we're talking about over here that he stole an animal that was kodshim and then he shechted it outside the Beis Mikdash, wouldn't that be a shchita shenir uya? So fine, it doesn't matter whether it's a shchita shenir uya or not, insofar as the issur of shchutei chutz, this ganav is going to be chayiv kores for shechting the animal outside the Beis Mikdash, but at least we should consider that it's not a shchita shenir uya as far as the dinim of gneva, to the extent that he should be chayiv in tashlum al-bab chamisha, no matter what kind of korban it was. Now Tosfos goes on to discuss the point. By the way, why do we call it shchita shenir uya? On the face of it, after he shechted the animal, he still has a very small window. But while the animal is still moving, while the animal is still moving around, the mefarkas it's called, he could still be poydeh conceivably at that point. And so Tosfos discusses whether that kind of thing would work. In particular, Tosfos ends up saying that no, when there was a proper shchita, then we're not going to say that it could be poided at that point. But anyway, Tosfos goes on to discuss various other details in that. But anyway, the point is that again, according to Rav Shimon, once we say, if we're saying that he stole the animal and it was kodshim, if we're saying that he shechts it now, and we're assuming it means that he shechts it outside the Beis Mikdash, then in that case, it's a shchita shenir uya, and according to Rav Shimon, that's not a shchita, and therefore, why should he be chayev? So the answer is, ki osir Rav Dimi, omer Rav Yechanan. Oh, well, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rav Yechanan, very simple. V'shechet mimifnim l'shem bailim. The answer is very simple. He stole the animal from Reuven. Now, what he does is he goes and takes this animal to the Beis Mikdash and says, this is Reuven's ola, and or Reuven's whatever korban it is, and I want to bring it on his behalf. Well, then in that case, good. So he's not being, so this is a shchitter. So fine, an ola maybe not, because an ola you can't eat the meat, but a shlomim or a chatas or whatever. So fine. So then in that case, it's a shchitter haruya, because it makes the meat mutter to eat. So the Gemara asks, in that case, then why is he chayev at all? Barichos or keren labailim. In that case, in effect, he's returning the keren to the original owner, because after all, the owner is now yotze the korban, because he needed to bring this animal as a korban anyway. Now he was yotze it. So, like we had a point like this earlier on in the perek, we should consider that at that point, the ganav, in effect, has returned the animal to the owner. Why is he paying tashlumi al-bab chamisha anyway? And the answer is Amar Rav Yitzchak Ba'oven Shenishvach Adam. The case would have to be that the blood spilled. So at the time of the shchita, so the blood spilled. They never ended up they never ended up sprinkling on the Mizbeach like they were supposed to. So therefore the owner was not in fact the Yotzer the Korban. So now you can't say Chozer Keren Labayim because, so nevertheless, there was a Shechita Re'uya because it would have resulted that, the animal could be eaten. We didn't know at the time of the Shechita that the blood is not going to be able to be received and then sprinkled. So therefore, we can still consider that it is a Shechita Re'uya, and even Rav Shimon would agree to that, that it's a Shechita Re'uya, and therefore say that he's chayev for that shchita. So we have everything taken care of. It is a shchita ru'uya. It's not outside the bismikdash as we thought, where then it's a shchita shein ru'uya. On the other hand, he hasn't returned it to the owner because returning it to the owner would mean that he was actually yotze the korban, and here he wasn't. Actually, there is a point, the Shoel Meshev makes a point, that actually if the blood spilled right at the time of the shchita, then that would be the case we're talking about over here. If it only spilled later on, after they did the Kabbalah, and then they're taking it to the Mizbeach, and then it spilled, then the Ganav could say that I shechted it, and I was Chozer Keren Labailim. I returned the Keren to you, the owner. It's not my fault afterwards that the Kohenim spilled the blood. So we would have to be talking about that the blood spilled out from the neck right there at the time of Shchita, but still, it seems to be considered Shchita Shein Ruya, because while they were doing the Shchita, they didn't know yet that that was going to happen. At the moment that they finish what's considered a kosher shchita. Now, usually, by the way, I mean, of course, you know, when you do a shchita, you don't do the minimum. You don't just do 51% of each pipe. You do more than that, and you cut enough that blood will start gushing out. So you could have that the shchita itself was done properly. Then to address the Shoel Meshev's point, you have they finished what's already not really necessary for the shchita, but is necessary for the Kabbalah to be able to receive all the blood. And at that point, then the blood spilled out and never was received in a keli, and therefore the korban is not ending up going for the owner. So that would be the case where Rav Shimon would say, says Rav Dimi, that he's chayev for the Shlomo Abba Hamisha, because on the one hand it was a shchita haro'uya, and on the other hand the owner wasn't yotze the korban with it. So that's one answer. He also Ravin Amar Rav Yechanan. When Ravin came, he said a different answer in the name of Rav Yechanan. B'sheichat tzvim b'fnim shaloi l'shem bayim. The case could be where the ganav brings the animal as a korban. Fine, we have to do that in order to avoid the shchita shein ruya problem. But he does bring it as a tumim inside the Beis Mikdash, but he didn't do it with the owner's name, with the owner in mind. Now, the usual rule is with most korbanos, if you shech them shaloi l'shem bailin, you shech them without the owner's name in mind or with a different person's name in mind, then most of the time the korban is kosher. However, the owner is not yotze with it. Well, then that would be exactly the case over here. It is kosher, therefore the meat of it can even be eaten, and therefore it is a shchita haro'uya. However, the owner was not yotze with it because they didn't have in mind his name, and therefore we can't say chozer keren labailim. Therefore, we can't say the original keren was returned to the owner, and therefore we can still be machayev the ganav to pay. We have to be talking about, by the way. So now Tosfos discusses. For that matter, Tosfos points out the same thing would be if it was shaloi l'shman. The same thing would be if the korban was shechted, having in mind that it's a different korban. Again, most korbanos, such a thing will be kosher only by chatas and a korban pesach will it be possible. Now, why taka do Rav Dimi and Ravin give different answers? Tosfos says because Rav Dimi would rather say that the din applies to all korbanos because. After all, this thing of shaloi l'shem ba'alein or shaloi l'shman wouldn't apply, or pesach or achatas, those korbanos would be completely possible if you don't have the owner in mind or you don't have the name of the korban in mind. So therefore, Rav Dimi wants something that will apply across the board to all korbanos, and that would be the case where the blood spilled. On the other hand, Ravin considers it a doichet to say that the Mishnah is davka talking about such a case where the blood spilled, and therefore he prefers to say that it's talking about a case where it was shaloi l'shma, or shaloi l'shma of the korban, or shaloi l'shma of the owner. The Shit Mukobetis brings another point as well, that after all, most korbanos are shechted b'shem ba'aleim, and it would be highly unusual for it to not be. Okay. Anyway, so either way, according to either of those answers, you can say that yes, it was a shchita re'uya, because it did take place inside the Azara. However, there was something that prevented the owner from being Yotzer with the Korban, either that the blood spilled and we couldn't sprinkle on the Mizbeah, or that the Korban was brought not with the owner in mind or not with the name of the Korban in mind. And the Gemara gives another answer, Rish Lakish Omar. Rish Lakish gives a different answer to explain how appointed of Shimon, how we're not worried about the Shittashan and Oya issue over here. And Tosfos points out that now Rish Lakish, in effect, Tosfos says is really kind of starting a new thing. Rish Lakish, we had the sugya before on Daf Samaches, where Rabbi Yochanan had understood that the owner himself can't be makdish the animal once it's in the hands of the ganav because it's out of his rishus to that extent, and we had a whole sugya on that. Rish Lakish disagreed and said that he could. Therefore, the sugya up until now was appointed Rabbi Yochanan on the assumption that the ganav himself is able, that on the assumption that the that only the ganav himself is able to be makdish the animal, and when could he do that? Only after Yush, because before Yush, obviously, it still belongs to the original owner. Rish Lakish, we said there on Daf Samaches, had disagreed and said that in fact the ganav himself could be Rish Lakish had said rather that the owner could be makdish the animal even when it's in the hands of the ganav. So therefore, Rish Lakish, now following his own shitta, is going to give a different answer of how Rish Shimon would say that this is considered a shitta shein ruya. And would say that we can be mechayiv him for the shechting. So Rish Lakish answers, v'shechet bali mumin b'chutz. We're talking about not that the animal was a tomim, like in the previous answers, but rather that it was a bal mum, and not that he shechted it inside the azara, but that he shechted it outside the azara. Well, then that's fine, because it's a bal mum, it can't be brought as a korban, so therefore the proper thing to do is to shecht it outside the azara. Now, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be poide at first. You're supposed to be poyde at first, but the point is at this point he's not chayiv kodesh for shechting kodshim outside the Bis Mikdash because it's not kodshim anymore because it's a bal mum. So it is a shchita reuya. So therefore you can eat the meat and therefore you can be chayiv tashlom al ba'al chamisha for that. So again, we don't have to say that we're talking about that it was hektish before. We can be talking about the owner himself was makdish it while it was in the hands of the ganav, but it's a bal mum, and therefore the shechting it outside the azara doesn't make it also bahana. Okay. So we have three answers of how Rav Shimon is going to explain the case and say that the ganav is going to be chayiv for the shechita. Two of them are assuming that the ganav himself was makdish the animal, like Rabbi Yochanan, and one is assuming that he brought the korban and the blood spilled, and the other one is assuming that he did it without the owner's name in mind. And then we have Rish Lakish's answer that we're talking about it's a b'chlal, not that the ganav was makdish it, but rather that the owner was makdish it, and it's a bal mum, and we're talking about he shechted it outside the azar. Rashi points out then that it would have to be that it was a bal mum before he was ever makdish it, because then actually if he was makdish it first and then it developed a mum, then in fact you wouldn't be able to be poide, and then in fact it would still be considered kodshim and he would be chayev, and it would be also a shchut echutz, and it would be also b'hana, and we're back to the problem of shchita shein ruya. That's a pointer of Rashi. Tosfos points out another possibility, a pointer of any time, as we said on Amud Aleph, that conceivably even after the Shchita, when the animal is moving around, conceivably you might be allowed to be poideh then, and then in that case it wouldn't be too late to be poideh and to say that it's good. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Tohi bar Rabbi Lazar. So now Rabbi Lazar wonders about all of these explanations. The word tohi, Rashi explains, literally comes from a word. It can be Meloshin wonder, but Rashi actually here and in other Gemaras explains that actually it's not so much Meloshin that, So there is. The Shittim Kubetzes brings such an explanation. Rashi gives a different explanation. The word togi we find in various Gemaras means to sniff. Like when you're sniffing a barrel of wine to tell whether it's good or whether it's vinegar. We learned back in Ksubas, for example, we learned about an early Amora named Karna in the times of Rav and Shmuel, where he would make a living doing that. He would go sniff people's wine and tell them whether it's a, whether it's still good or whether it's about to go sour. So according to that, Rashi explains that Tohi Bara Belozer means Rabbi Lozer is sniffing around among these explanations and seeing do they really fit. So like this, L'Rab Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning specifically, now Rashi explains that his first question is going to be according to Robin's statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Where again, Robin had said that the case where we can be Mechayev the Ganav and not say that he returned it to the original owner is where the Korban was shechted not with the original owner in mind. So it was a kosher Korban in most cases, except for a Korban Pesach and a Korban Chatas. Such a Korban is kosher, however, the owner is not Yotzer with it. So therefore, you can't say that the Korban was returned to him. That was Robin's answer. In other words, the point was, if he had actually told the Kohenim, bring this Korban on behalf of Reuven, and maybe he hasn't told him he stole it from Reuven, fine, but he says, bring this Korban on behalf of Reuven, then good, Reuven would be Yotzer the Korban, and now it can be considered by shechting, and he's actually returning it to the original owner, and therefore you can't be mechayim. So in order to be mechayim, but Shlomo Bar Chamisha, it has to be that he did shaloi l'shem bayim, or as Tosfos point out, could also be shaloi l'shem korban. It could be that it was supposed to be an ola, and he tells them instead it's a shlomim or something like that.
No extra punishment for taking something that's not yours and being managed without them.
So again, we're talking about that according to Robin's answer, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Robin's answer, we're talking about that the owner was originally makdish it before the guy was stolen. Because Rabbi Yochanan would hold the owner can't be makdish it after he stole it, because not birshusa anymore to be able to do that. And as far as the ganav, obviously if he was makdish it, we said before he would be chayef hashlomei dala behei just for the fact that he was makdish it. We said on Amud Aleph he might not be chayef for the making it hektish because it still has the original owner's name on it. However, once he shechts it, sure, he's going to be chayef for that. But here we're talking about where it was hektish, where it was kodshim before he ever stole it. So again, Reb Shimon had drawn a distinction whether the original owner is chayev b'achru yaseh or not. So now we're trying to work out. What would be the cases where Reb Shimon is going to be mechayev him to pay the tashlum al bal b'chamisha. So Reb Elazar wonders, little Reb Yochanan, according to Reb Yochanan's answer, which is to say, Rashi says, according to Robin's answer in the name of Reb Yochanan, the question is, shchita materes? Is it the shchita that's enough to be matu, the animal to be eating? V'aloi zrika materes. The question is, you also need the zrika sadam in order for it to be mutter. So at the time of the shchita, it's not yet a shchita ra'uya. You can't call it a shchita ra'uya until we know that the meat is going to be able to be eaten. In the case of a whole animal, all you need is the shchita. You find that it's not a trefa. In the case of a korban, you need an additional step. You need the zrika. So at the time of the tvicha, it should be considered shchita shein ruya, and therefore according to Reb Shimon, he should be potter because it wasn't yet completely roy.
Every kind is that way,
but that's fine. So that's the question: how can Reb Shimon be mechayev him for shechting an animal as a korban when by definition any korban, the shchita of any korban is going to involve you first need the zrika in order for him to be allowed to eat the meat.
Even though that's normal, yes, it's for shech.
That's fine, but nevertheless, that's the question. That's Rav Elazar's question. Similarly, the Rish Lakish shchita materes. Similarly, you have to ask point to the Rish Lakish's answer that it was a bal mum and he shechted it outside the azara. Shchita materes, vale p'diya materes. What do you mean the shchita is being matur? You have to first be poided in order to be able to eat it. Only when he shechted it, then it's still shchita shein ruya. So again, according to Rashi, that his question is on two of the three answers over here. According to Robin and according to Rish Lakish. On Reb Dimi, it comes out from what Rashi is saying that he wouldn't have such a question on Reb Dimi, because in Reb Dimi's example, where we're saying that the blood spilled, so fine. Then in that case, the shechita was roi, and there would have been a zrika, except that then they spilled the blood. But according to Robin, who's saying that we're talking about where they shechted it, shaloi l'shem bailin, then the question is that, fine. You matter it to be eaten, but on the other hand, it's still a shechita shein roya until the zrika actually takes place. So in fact, Tosfos says the question is the other way around. If you say the case is the blood spilled, then you have to ask, well, then the zrika is matu, and here you didn't have a zrika. When you say it was shaloi l'shem bailin, the fact is everything is done. Ultimately, everything is done correctly. The shchita, the zrika, the everything is being done correctly. So therefore, what's the problem? Of course, that should be considered shchita ra'uya. So again, according to Rashi, the question is on Robin and on Rish Lakish. According to the Tosfos, on the other hand, on the contrary, the question is on Reb Dimi and on Rish Lakish, but not on Robin, because in Robin's case, where they actually shechted the animal and did the zrika and everything correctly, it was just shaloi l'shem bailim, then yeah, Reb Elazar is not going to have a problem with that, because that's truly considered, once they did the zrika and once they accomplished everything, that's truly considered a shechita heroi. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, the Shita Mukubetz, brings from Talmid Rabbeinu Peretz, who for his Rashi, and says like this. The question is, according to the opinion that we're talking about, forget about the blood spilling. We're talking about eventually, yes, the blood is being sprinkled properly. Nevertheless, at the time of the Shita, which is when the Chiyuv of Tashlum Abav Chamisha is Chal, the Chiyuv of Tashlum Abav Chamisha is not Chal when they sprinkle the blood or whatever, it's Chal when they Shech. And at the point of the Shita, we didn't know yet whether there's going to be a Zrika. And the fact is, the Zrika hasn't happened yet, and it's not Roy to eat. So how can Rav Shimon call that Shita Roya?
85%.
Even though it's likely that it will, but the fact is, at the time of the Shita, it hasn't happened yet. And the answer is, Ishtemitze, Hodir Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar, when he asked this question, had forgotten what Rav Shimon himself says, Kola Omid Lizrit, Shizoruk Dami, Bechola Omid Lifkes Kipodri Dami. Rav Shimon holds that when you have blood that's going to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach is considered as though it was already sprinkled, and something that was going to be redeemed from Hefdish is considered as though it already was. So therefore, yes, we can say, even though the Zrika has not taken place yet, and when we say Kol Omid Liftos, what we mean is, so a korban that was shechted, we expect the blood is going to be sprinkled. An animal that's a Baal Mum, which has to be nifter, the only thing you can do, since you can't bring it as a korban anymore, then you have to be poided from the hefdish in order to be able to shecht it. And again, Rashi explains, we're talking about where the animal was a Baal Mum to begin with, and Tosfos had made a similar point, Well, Tosfos had brought from Rashi the same point, and then Tosfos had said, maybe according to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't necessarily have to say that, but whatever. The point is that since this animal, the only thing we can do with it is to be poder in order to be allowed to do the next stage with it, which is to shecht it, Reb Shimon holds we can consider it to a certain extent as though that already happened, and therefore the fact that it hasn't happened yet doesn't prevent the shechita from being a shechita ra'uya. On the basis that we will be poured to the animal, or that we will sprinkle the blood, and therefore it is considered a valid thing. So kol ha'imid lizrik kazaruk dami. Where do we see that Rav Shimon holds of this concept of kol ha'imid lizrik kazaruk dami? The Tanya, we learn in a brisa. We learn in a brisa. Rav Shimon Omer, yesh noser shumatame tumas ochlin. Rav Shimon point. Now you have noser. You have leftover meat from a korban. Midrabanan, by the way, it's matame a person's hand, but we have to talk about on a daraisa level. Is it considered food to the extent where it would be matame tumas oichlin? So there is a case, Rav Shimon says, where yes, but yes, no, so she ain't matame tumas oichlin. And then you have a case where there's not. Ketzad, lom lifnei zrika. So Rav Shimon says, if the meat was left over and it became possible as noser before the blood was sprinkled, the blood has to be sprinkled on the day the korban itself was brought. Otherwise the korban is possible. So Rashi points out the basis of this is like this. Rav Shimon takes the view that in order for food to be metame, tumas oichlin, it has to be mutter b'hana. Now, noser is also b'hana. You have to burn it. So therefore, sort of Shimon would say, ordinarily then, it's not going to be matamet tumas ochlin. However, Reb Shimon is going to hold, once there was a time after it was shechted, when it was considered food, then it retains that status even after it becomes also bahana. So therefore, that's what he's saying. So if the blood was not sprinkled, and now the next day came, so now it's possible, so then it never had a shasa kosher, and therefore he says, then therefore it's not matame tumas zrika, but if it was left over after night, after the zrika, so it was left, for example, a toida, which has to be eaten that day, or an osham, or a chatas, whatever, same kind of thing, then matame tumas oichlin, then Rav Shimon says it is matame tumas oichlin, because it had a time when it was mutter to eat, and therefore it still retains that status even now when it's also bahana. And the kaimalon, now we know about this braisa, my lifne zrika, what do we mean that before zrika? We don't literally mean, in other words, that the blood was never sprinkled, because then how can we call it noiser? The Gemara explains it in Menachos when it deals with this din of Rav Shimon. What do we mean lifne zrika? We don't mean, in other words, that it was left over before the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. Rather, kodem shenira lezrika. It means before there was a chance to sprinkle the blood. Meaning, in other words, that there was no time. The korban was brought very late in the day, and there was no time to sprinkle the blood before shpia came. And at shpia, you can't after shpia, you can't sprinkle the blood anymore. La'achar zrika means la'achar shenira lezrika. The word la'achar zrika would mean after it became suitable for zrika. Meaning, in other words, so there was enough time in the day when they could have sprinkled the blood, and yet they didn't. So the Rav Shimon considers, in other words, the distinction is not whether the blood was sprinkled or not. The distinction is, would there have been time to sprinkle the blood? As long as there was time to, then Rav Shimon considers, now it's considered that it has potential tumas oichlin, because since they would have sprinkled, that's the point. We're saying over here, kolayim lizrik, they would have sprinkled the blood, because zoruk dummy, we have to consider it as though it was already sprinkled, and therefore, so now that's the Gemara teaches out. Kodim shenudal zrika mayhi, what do we mean when it was kodim shenudal zrika? Deloy have yeshoos bayom lizrikay. We mean there was not enough time in the day to sprinkle that blood. The shaft is somach l'shkiyas achama, namely that he shechted the animal right before shkiyas achama, and therefore Rav Shimon says, "Ve'ein matamet tumas oichlin." Therefore, it's not going to be matamet tumas oichlin, because the result is this korban is going to be possible. It never had even a potential shasa kosher to become mutter to eat. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, therefore, to begin with, it was also bahana, and therefore it never had a shasa kosher when it was mutter bahana, therefore it doesn't have tumas oichlin. Again, following his shita, that the food has to be mutter bahana, has to have at least at some point been mutter bahana in order to have tumas oichlin.
So the main thing is that the shita means it's spring.
So then, because until the blood is sprinkled, you can't eat the meat, yeah. On the other hand, la'acha shenira lezrika means la'acha shenira lezrika lon to have yeshoas b'yom lemizrika. It doesn't mean that they actually sprinkled the blood. It means they had the time to sprinkle the blood. Matamet tumas oichlin, and we still say that's matamet tumas oichlin. So therefore, alma kol oimid lizrik kazoruk domi. Therefore, we see clearly from that Rav Shimon holds that when blood was going to be sprinkled, it's considered as though it already was, to the extent where now we can say, therefore, matamet tumas oichlin, and therefore, applying that to our case over here, Rav Elazar was wondering on Ravin according to Rashi, or on Rav Dimi according to Tosfos, how does it help that we shechted the korban? Shouldn't he still be chayv tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha until the zrika is actually done? The answer is no. Since the zrika could be done, then Rav Shimon considers it as though it was already done, and therefore we say that therefore we can consider it a shchita hara'uya, and therefore Rav Shimon would be mechayev the ganav for tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha for such a shchita. I can't actually eat it yet until the blood is sprinkled. Rav Shimon doesn't worry about that. As long as the blood is ready to be sprinkled, then he considers it that as far as that din, as though it already was. Not that you can actually eat the korban at that point, but at least that the ganav should be chayav tashlum edala behe at that point. And as far as what we said, the second thing that we said Rav Elazar forgot is that when he asked the question, is that Rav Shimon also holds the same thing as far as pidyon. We'll deal with that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
all, like we learned earlier, like when he's the Ganav is taking it to be, if it's his, it's not his.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm in the Balabasas, right. Not, it's like such a fine here because in the way it's his, the way it's not his.
Yeah. This Perek is one of the more lomdish of Perokim in Chas for that reason, because you have such fine distinctions that have to be made throughout the Perek, yeah.